Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here I am at KPFA in the mothership, kissing the earth, a rare cycling through a fantastic, authentically earned magic presentation at Bioneers, which is how I reconnected with my fantabulous guest, who I'll bring on in some moments. And we go, right, so we are dark of the moon, new moon on Sunday evening at 5 Scorpio, opposite Uranus in Taurus, ingenuity. And it's, again, these new moons are where Venus, reemerging from the gloaming at sunset, she's returned as the evening star. And each new moon is where she and us retrieve something that she had been deconditioned in her descent. So now it's our spicy sorcery self. And it's a beautiful thing because Mars is, the heliacal rise is reappearing as the morning star in Libra, Venus's sign. I have to say this because it's cool. They are in mutual reception. Mars is in Libra, emerging for a whole new cycle. Mars has manners. Venus has sorcery. Venus in Scorpio, Mars is sign. Anyway, mutual reception. So it's highly auspicious. And this is a time also where we, you know, want to get ready for this launching of collaborative ingenuity. So on my way here to beloved KPFA, at the University Avenue exit, there were tents, three tents in a row with the signs, "Where do we go?" And we all want to answer that. Where do we go? And we want to have an answer going, here's a tiny house for you and for you and for you. You know, and then also this whole realm of storytelling in which we're engaged, you know, and everything's a part of it, including the political world. But let's use the metaphoric frame that politics and the political beings are the sail. We are the wind. And I think Bernie's right. We're electing a story and a movement. Bernie and Alexandria, you know, rah, 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 we're electing an entire thing, right? So politics is the sail. We are the wind. Whoa, the Dementors are the resistance. I want to switch this word. We are the swoosh. Swoosh, right? Because resistance is a losing move, right? Anyway, so more than perfectly, Dark of the Moon, this is Getting Ready for Dawn Radio. We welcome pragmatic mystics Gordon Fuller, Kealoha Gardner, and Ron Swenson to illuminate the dark and dive into our detailed vision of the desirable. Yes, we can do it. Gordon Fuller is 800 million things. All right, co-director of World-Enabled Inclusive Cities Lab, UC Berkeley Architecture and Urban Planning, entrepreneurial advisor, Victor Pineda Foundation, Urban Innovation Group, and other things that we will come to understand, and we will play with the vision and the age of awareness. We'll come right back to that. But first, also fantastic, Ron Swenson will be, and welcome, Gordon.
Aloha kako.
There we go.
Aloha tosa.
Ron Swenson has been working in the solar business for decades and has been teaching students about solar-powered transportation systems for over 10 years. He was also one of the UC Davis students of 72 who did the first student-made and run housing, the dome houses. There, that could be an answer to where do we go. At the end of September, he submitted the city of San Jose a solar-powered elevated pod car in response for their call for transportation companies to submit a plan for public transportation. We could all use that. Welcome, Ron.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Wonderful. There's a slight echo. We'll see what we can do. And Kealoha Gardner, who's the instigator. She is the artist of who belongs to what. Here, meet this person, read this thing. Dedicated to telling stories that motivate, enlighten, and encourage us. Producer on Fuller Vision Podcast, sharing with others. Oh, Fuller Vision Podcast, hey. Comma, sharing with others our journey. And weaving the team along the way. So that's great. Welcome, Kealoha.
Aloha, Caroline.
Yeah, wonderful. So just for the fun of it, I did find that ancient email from 2017, September 15th, 2017, because Gordon and Kealoha and I, we met at the eclipse, which is kind of perfect, sun and light and dark. We're diving into the dark. I love, you know, sometimes it takes longer than we think because we've apparently been planning, unbeknownst to our conscious selves, this show, this collaboration for 2 years. So you, Gordon, wrote to me September 15, 2017, Aloha, Caroline. Gordon Fuller here, blind Indian from the Oregon Eclipse Festival hub stage. Kealona, Aloha, and I are very much, we're thrilled to meet you in person as we feel we are intimately acquainted with you through your gifting of radio waves. And then there's much praising that goes on. Thank you very much. By way of the background, Kealoha and I are filmmakers working with New Media, where I've designed, developed technologies, and launched ventures aimed at community building and empowering people, encouraging people through improved access to information. And then there's too many projects to even list. So welcome, team. So I know, Ron, there's important conferences coming up. Is that right?
Right. We are having our 13th annual International Podcar City Conference in week after next. It'll start with an opening on the 4th, reception, and then all day the 5th and the 6th in San Jose. And the website is just www.podcarcity.org for those who want to track us down and join us.
That's great. And is this possibly an answer to the homeless people with their signs on their tents going, where do we go?
Well, for one thing, yes, we think that the city...
Wait, you're going away. Your phone is getting fainter. Come back, Ron.
Let's try it this way. Is that a little better?
Oh, much better. There we go.
Okay, you've mentioned
We find the magic story again. All right, that's good.
Yeah, so we consider the streets of the city as being retro. As we sit right now, the city streets are covered over with a very ancient material that's been under the earth and has been liberated, but is quite toxic. We call it asphalt.
Right.
And we think that instead of having our transportation system based on covering the earth with goo, that it makes a lot more sense to use a modern material. It's called metal. You've probably heard of the Iron Age. Well, we want to go beyond the Iron Age to sophisticated metals above the street that make it possible for us to carry our transportation with machines out of the way of people.
Ah.
So for the homeless, it means that parking lots are freed up. It also means parking garages are freed up. It also means that at the street, we are no longer confronted by the horrible smell and noise.
Right. And oops, were you kidnapped by somebody? Uh-oh, did you fall into the underworld? Are you there, Ron? Well, it was a great conversation. Come back, Ron. It's all telepathic. I was about to mention that. Are you there? I hear rustling. Could be wind sounds. Ron has become an air spirit. We are the swoosh. We are the swoosh. We'll see what's going to happen.
You're back.
It was right as I was about to say, and maybe there's a connection between you being temporarily silenced, but never more. But a friend of mine said that, you know, that the primary investors in parking lots in America are the Saudis.
Uh-huh.
Because they make so much money and they don't use liquor, and it's a great way to launder money. So yeah, so parking lots are kind of the essence of corruption.
I'll just mention that 40% of the land area in the city of San Francisco, 40% of the land there is parking lots and roads.
Oh.
And so think of it. What a better use of parking lots and roads it would be if we could turn them back into pedestrian malls, bicycle lanes, gardens. Perhaps we could get the streams flowing again. The earth could be again exposed to the elements of the rain as the cities are configured now. There's none of that. Mm. And we could plant trees. We could live in a different way.
Mm-hmm. It would be beautiful. Yes. Yeah. Yes, Ron.
So exactly, and the opportunity to provide shelter goes with this. One thing for sure is that shelter is a legal construct, it's a political construct. In other words, if I were to insist that everybody who wants to be considered housed has to have gold-plated front doors, and we regulated that, then there would be a lot of people who didn't have a place to live simply because they didn't have gold-plated front doors. And going to the other extreme, you know, it's not a very smart idea either for us to accommodate people with something as simple as a bedroll on the sidewalk. So there's got to be a happy medium between the McMansion on steroids and the bedroll on the sidewalk.
Well, we're really calling for, we know that there are so many, and we just came from, you know, Bioneers, and there's so many great gatherings, and you'll delineate even more coming up, Ke Aloha and everything. But there's ingenuity, and I just remember a shout out to somebody who had this fabulous backpack that you took off, and it went foomp, 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 and it self-inflated into a cute little house with a solar phone charger and a little bed and everything. It's like, oh, that's adorable. You know, again, more. Yeah. And then what you were saying, Ron, just everything physical is also metaphysical. Another great guest, Terence Ward, was delineate that few Westerners know that before 1928, Mecca was a Sufi global celebration of tolerant, beautiful Islam and poetry and music. And then the Sauds moved in, right, with Wahhabism, and they paved over much of Mecca. You know, they paved over the Prophet's daughter's house and put in a parking lot. So anyway, they'll just have to go back. And now they're paving over more of America, making parking lots. And we go, oh, there's a terrible symmetry here. So symmetry, you know, the beauty that Gordon was just presenting, and you are too, going, look, you know, kindness, beauty, and ingenuity, look how it could be. And Ke Aloha, is this the conference that to which we're offering contestants free passes?
Yes.
Yes. Well, speak forth.
Into
the mic.
Two lucky people that call in can have a ticket for themselves and a friend.
Ah.
And we'll throw in a solar lighter device.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go, team. So it's a game show, but it's to replace the toxic game show. So this is giving away tickets to the first two people with a friend who call. Here you go. 510. Oh, wait, no, actually, no. Give the number.
You don't have to have your friend with you. You can give them the ticket later. But we need your name.
We need your name. Right. And it's November 5th and 6th.
4th through the 6th.
Oh, God. Okay. Website's wrong.
The 4th is the evening reception only.
Right. Okay. So it's November 5th, 10 a.m. to November 6th, 5 p.m. at the Stage in San Jose. People can go anyway, and we'll let you know how you can find out about it. But the first two people, you know, you can take a friend by calling 510-848-4425. Let's see what happens. Can you animate, Ron, can you animate the conference festival a little more? Like, tell our contestants what they'll get, Ron.
Sure. We have a large contingent of people from Europe, from India, possibly from the Far East, from around the United States, and now as a result of some work that was done recently by the city of San Jose, we're going to have a number of elected officials and staff people from transportation agencies in the Southern Bay Area who are getting together with their expertise to describe how we can take automation in transportation from the individual, such as the Waymo car, to a group experience. That is to say, for the four of us here on the show, we could all hop in a car together just like you would a regular car today, but have it elevated and powered by solar, running on a fixed guide rail.
Ooh.
And in so doing...
But wait, I have to say, I'm pretty sure we have our first two callers. I'm pretty sure we do.
Oh.
So you can cease calling, but we will let you know how you can get there. But the first two people that we will learn soon, that's great, are very lucky because the tickets are appropriately pricey. Right. So, so for people who weren't those first two callers, to whom you've generously and their friend each have as a friend, how can people, without mentioning price, because we're a nonprofit radio station, can't mention the fee, but we can mention how people can find out and attend as well.
Yeah, just like I said before, go to PodCarCity, PodCarCity.org, and look at the registration.
Great, that's
from
great.
There. And the opportunity, as I started to say, is to be listening from the experts who have worked in this field for a good long time, bringing perspectives from many different parts of the world as to how we're going to enable this vision and bringing reality to it. After having seen the earliest examples of this taking place as long as 40 years ago in the system at Morgantown, West Virginia, at the University of West Virginia. So this is a well-established concept. The main difference between what we're doing and what others are doing is that this is automation focused on public transportation for groups and not for the individual car that goes to your very garage. However, the systems are designed in such a way that there can be a large distributed set of stations all around the community, so that typically you wouldn't have to walk more than a quarter of a mile to get to a station or leave a station to your destination.
Let me jump in here, Ron, because I think I'd like to share a picture with the people of how this thing looks. So imagine over the road, running parallel over and above the road, 18 feet up, we have solar panels running the length of the road. Now, underneath those solar panels are guide rails from which gondola cars, computerized electric vehicles, will hang, rather similar to what you might have experienced in an amusement park. Every quarter mile or so, we have station stops. The car you pick up, though, only accelerates onto the track above and never slows down until you get to your destination. So it's a rather efficient system as opposed to jumping on a bus, mixing it up with traffic, and bumping along every step of the way. Also, the station stops become microgrid distribution centers from which batteries or hydrogen can be stored in fuel cells or in batteries, and it would power up the microgrid in the neighborhood because we only use about 20% of the power for the transportation system. And the very best part is that it uses the sun appropriately. When people get up, rise, and go to work, when people come home from the office or school, the timing is perfect. The sun is at work. We're using the sun where we are going to apply it and collect the energy. So it's a very efficient system. It would be so different than today. Imagine our streets returned to us as nature areas and green belts and walking areas. And you could still have autonomous vehicles, but they would go at human walking speed, non-lethal speed. And they can also deliver freight.
Right. Now, this is so needed. I want your team to come to where I am your agent on behalf of you outside Washington, D.C., where they are considering, they're actually disastering, to expand the Beltway with no vision. They're going to make two high-speed lanes that are $40 a commute, Lexus lanes, right?
Good to be rich.
Nothing changed. They have no transportation thing. But we, the swoosh to their resistance, again, the citizens are going, and it would take houses and it would disrupt nature and the canal and the animals. Anyway, and so I walk under it every day, the old, ancient, decrepit, failing structure, and go, what would it look like if it were beautiful? And which Gordon and you have just animated, going, yes, that's what we want to see.
If I may also point out, it won't burn down our cities either by plugging in a lot of electric cars. How's that going to work?
How is that going to work? I mean, because take us to the power shortages and everything right now.
Hello.
I mean, here we are, and the power, and not shortages, the power absence, right?
Yeah.
A lot of our listeners are possibly not listening.
Yeah.
Right.
Hi
there.
Yeah.
We resort to the original technology of telepathy.
Smoke signals.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of smoke signals. I even passed a couple of fires on the way here.
Oh,
it's like,
no.
Well, that's why we're calling this Getting Ready, because it's
ready.
Like, it's coming. It's coming, team, and so we... We have the likes of Ron and Kay Aloha and Gordon, pragmatic mystics, meaning here's the vision, we know how to do it, and then I'm so impressed, Gordon, too, that when you, and we'll spiral around, and everybody can, this is a very free-range, autonomous radio show, Ron. You can jump in at any point. But I want to take Gordon back to when you said, we were talking about Uranus, Jupiter, and Saturn. They represent these living qualities of intelligence. And you said, you know, you were at the Jet Propulsion Laboratories, you finessed some gig with ABC, and you got to see the photos that the Voyager was sending back, right?
Absolutely. Ah. Well, like many in my audience here today, I am sightless. I'm blind, and it's been a progressive thing over many years. But as my eyesight was fading in the late 70s, I said, what in this world have I not seen that I would really think would be worth seeing? And because I lived in Tucson, my brother was an astrophysicist, my dad was an aerospace engineer, and I grew up with astronomical instrumentality, I thought to myself, why, we're about to encounter Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus with the Voyager spacecraft. And wouldn't that be something? In fact, I did get to be there as a news producer for ABC. I got to record those stories, got nominated for an Iris Award.
Cool.
And the cool part was I got to see these worlds close up in such beauty, things that all of humanity has looked at as fuzzy dots in the sky. They became real worlds with beauty beyond imagining. And to me, it just so stimulated my imagination. I realized I was spun up out of the dust of the Milky Way galaxy, as we all are, into consciousness. And what an experience. And my true belief is that a thousand years from now, people will be singing songs about these clever humans back in these times that built these clever spacecraft.
I hope so.
Yeah, if they remember us without spitting on the ground. Yeah.
Well, and what is the Iris Award, the Rainbow Award, Iris?
It's a news, professional news.
But is it IRIS?
IRIS.
Well, yeah. Just because, you know, because Coyote Network News is the mythological news service. So I love that you received the Iris Award. Iris is the rainbow goddess who can take messages from the underworld of darkness to the heaven of light and back, because she does not live either place.
Oh.
Isn't that great?
That is so beautiful. And our Voyager spacecraft are far out into beginnings of interstellar space, sending back information about the heliopause, the solar wind blowing over.
And didn't it also have little kind of drawings of a little man and a little woman? Chuck Berry and our little weird postcard?
Hawaiian space artist John Lomberg lives on Big Island, has built a beautiful galaxy garden to shape it with botanical wonders to show the beauty of the galaxy. And John was the cosmos artist for Carl Sagan, and he designed with Carl and others this wonderful record, which has little images of mankind and recordings. My brother and I decided that the whale songs they recorded are probably like, send help, crazy humans.
Right, that's right.
Sorry.
No, that's completely appropriate going, that's right there. Yeah, so the Dementors are, you know, right, exactly.
I think that was the plot to Star Trek.
I know, they stole that from me. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. And then just for our situation, you know, just to situate ourselves, it's always good, maps and all, many exciting things. But at night, all of us, we get to see Jupiter, very bright, and then to the left, 60 degrees, well, a little less than 60 degrees, is Saturn. But they're in a beautiful arc, and nothing is ever nothing and then something. You know, it's all moving. So it's like, there's Jupiter and Saturn. We can see them, and they're getting closer and closer together. It will take until the end of 2020 for them to unite. Mm-hmm. And it's thought that their coming together is the signature of the next 20 years. But just for the serious fun of it, we go dedication and opportunity. Everything before us is an opportunity and a responsibility. And then just for the, again, fun of it, because Gordon shared his birthday with me, the very bottom of your chart, I have too many things here, but the very bottom of your chart is wittily 22 Sagittarius. Jupiter in the sky right now is 22 Sagittarius. You're having a Jupiter transit this minute. This is it.
We like to predict it.
And then fulfill full service astrology. I see you will be on the radio. Oh, you are. All right. But the image for that degree, which is the core of Gordon's being always and available to all of us, is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend democracy from tyranny. Thank you, Gordon Fuller.
Hey, yo.
And to all of us who are breathing. And all of us who aren't breathing too, because we are here, you know, and that's where again we want to play with the desirable vision. We love the podcarcity.org. I would like this team to come give a presentation to the greater Washington, D.C. area going, look, it'd be beautiful, it'd be very wonderful and ingenious. Because what I would say to the developers going, all right, you widen the lanes, you charge people $1 billion, and then what in 10 years or 5 years?
Three.
And then what do you do? Well, we widen it more, we widen it more, we widen it more, and then there's nothing else but road. All right.
You know, yes. There was a guy named Abraham Maslow, who we know as the one who thought about the hierarchy of human needs, which is kind of resonating with what you just said. He also, unbeknownst to me until very recently, came up with the law of the instrument. And this is the law which we sometimes think of as the law of the hammer. If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And when it comes to transportation, our society has been limited by one instrument, which is the act of paving. So what we've done until now to solve transportation problems is to pave something. Mm. Even the airplane is paving the airlines, you know, they're paving the landing
tarmac
strip. So what I'm suggesting is that we emerge from the Stone Age or the Asphalt Age to the Metal Age, and we begin designing our transportation system in such a way that it does not interfere with our human pedestrian lifestyle, where we interact at grade level and do not allow our machines to interfere with our good quality of life.
And let our be an ever-expanding definition of community, that it's good for... I saw so many little dead raccoons by the side of the road on my way here. I'm like, oh, I'm very sorry. I have a little roadkill bell going, no, I'm very sorry. No, I don't want to say I'm sorry. I go, we are honoring you, and some humans are trying to be ingenious and more polite. But it's like, oh, no, terrible last moments for so many little creatures. Mm. But yeah, and the guess the corruption and the paving, because of course, everywhere and outside Washington, D.C., the government has outsourced the project, the non-transportation increase problems project, to private sector, you know, which has like never been dedicated to collective well-being. And I just want to put before our team these ongoing themes that, you know, Saturn, our leadership, our government, our political realm, you know, what can a government do? It is us. We want to inhale it back in, you know, as opposed to outsourcing to corruption. And it is like a cartoon, right? It's like the asphalt, you know, asphalt paving business is where you put the bodies. I mean, it's the gangsters, right? It's a kind of embodiment of corruption. So corruption into the cauldron, ingenuity out of the cauldron. Yes, Kayla.
There is a great segment on Hasan Minhaj's Patriot Act show called Why Your Public Transportation Sucks.
On Netflix.
About corruption in the public transportation.
Yes. No, we want all of this to, again, illuminating the dark, going, did you know? And here's what we could be doing, right? And so Ron, when you're not podcarcity.org-ing, what great trouble and good are you doing?
Well, the whole point is to find a way to get off of fossil fuels. Yep. So my whole emphasis now is on this matter of solar transportation. Our conference, of course, is only once a year. And when that's not happening at San Jose State University, we have a team of engineering students primarily, and we're now recruiting from other disciplines, what we call the Spartan Superway. And the Spartan Superway has been in play for now, we're into our eighth year, and we're developing the technology and the know-how for people to enter into the career of developing this type of transportation that is 100% sustainable.
Is there any way we might change the first word?
The first word is
Spartan.
It's an acronym.
Just because I read this fantastic article yesterday that Sparta is the cancer on global culture, that this fetish about Sparta, this faux mythology we put that to one side. That's for the linguistic show.
We compost it.
What? Sorry.
It has a new meaning. Spartan now stands for solar-powered, automated, rapid transit Ascendant Networks.
All right.
That's what Spartan means.
Okay, you've redeemed it. You've redeemed it. Thank you. All right, and you've liberated me from harumphitude. Excellent. Two things in one. All right, we're having we're having fun now. All right, we're going to take a very short break, Taj Mahal, because there's nothing finer. We'll be right back after this very short break with our wonderful guests, Pragmatic Mystics Gordon Fuller, Kay Aloha Gardner, and Ron Swenson. I'm Carolyn Casey, and we will be right back. Here you go.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
All get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, and that was Taj Mahal, of course, Caroline Casey. So here I am at the mothership, actually physically at KPFA, a rare swoosh by, having had a really great run, a pretty darn good enough dynamic delivery Thursday last at Open Secret. That was good, but that served as compost. That's right. That served as compost for the Bioneers, where really the magic is there. You know, it's three fantastic musicians, Amakela Gaston and Carolyn Brandy and Brianna Damaris, and it just glided into a place, and just for all of us, because it's such a trippy time right now, as this dark of the moon and moon in Virgo, in which we say obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety attacks, or ritual magic. Take your pick. So we got frantic with distractions and technological distractions and kerfuffles. And then we go, no, deeper down, there's the current. There's the story. There's how we're being danced into place. So, yes, just to re-honor everyone, we are welcoming. This is Dark of Moon Getting Ready. Getting Ready Radio. Getting Ready for Dawn Radio. And we have our pragmatic mystics who are applying things, Gordon Fuller, Kay Aloha Gardner, and Ron Swenson, to dive us into our detailed vision of the desirable. So, no, I have those Podcar cities in my head now. I won't settle for anything less. That's really great. So Gordon, you know, when we were speaking backstage, and everything's backstage, you know, you go, new age of awareness. We go, right, we're inviting the ingenious. All right, say more. Okay, here we are.
I had an opportunity to pioneer virtual reality.
Yes,
I was trying to engineer a solution for my failing eyesight, and I ended up discovering how to best fit on a human head, imagery, information, and give people a crazy experience. Hmm. And so over the years since, I've been working on augmented reality, which is basically taking the information about the world, the knowledge about the world around us, and appending it to the physical spaces. It's called the spatial web. And one of my favorite sayings, I think it's Arthur C. Clarke, it's often attributed to, is good technology should seem like magic. And augmented reality is a kind of magic, because where you go, whatever you do, instead of browsing with your finger on a little glass square noodling about, instead you're walking about in the real world physically and engaging and encountering information, knowledge about things that you're interested in, not things that are thrust on you by Coca-Cola or other companies.
So when you do that, do you see?
With it, I can have spatial information, because one of the challenges is information that orients me as a blind person. So, to be honest with you, I designed this for myself, but I needed to get other people to pay for it. So
yes,
good idea. My good work has been aimed at creating what we call an inclusive solution, where everybody wins, and that's the plan, where we're able to now walk about in the world, and as we approach things, we can tune into the things we're interested in. What are the store hours? What's the address? Where can I find a good haircut? You know, whatever your personal interests are, or is in my case a blind person. Perhaps another blind person has been through this area and can give me advice on the mall, and I can follow a path to a store I'm looking for. So rather than giving that up to the big tech companies, there's new technologies that have been developed that allow people to have a distributed web, where all of it isn't up in the cloud under the auspices of some large company, but in our own control, individually, collectively, so that we can share information about the commons, and we can access that information and append to it the information that we want to share. And those who are interested will have control. And the best is yet ahead, I believe, for humanity, because the things that have bedeviled us at this point, such as data analytics, which basically try to mine everything about you so that we can guess at what you might be doing next and try to thrust it at you, we can turn that around, where when I put on my AR glasses or use my smartphone, I can, when considering a product, get information about that company. Whatever it says on the label's one thing, but what trusted sources of people and organizations that I trust with my life and my safety and my health, unlike the FDA, you'd be able to get the real goods on them. So to be honest with you, I call it a pigometer, because at the end of the day, there are a lot of companies I wouldn't want to do business with. There are companies that I absolutely revile, and I don't want them to have another dollar. And if you consider that humans, people in the United States who buy products, household purchases, 79% of the U.S. economy, why, when we begin to vote with our money, we can change things more profoundly and soundly than anything else. And I really look forward to sharing more of that in the future.
Good. Although I there are many pigs, actual pigs, I would cooperate with.
I like those animals.
I'm just concerned citizens for metaphoric liberation of animals forced into metaphoric servitude to compare that. Because, you know, weasels, if there's a particularly, you know, rabid, demonically possessed weasel, they go, boy, that weasel sure is human. That's right. We can do it the other way around. There we go. Okay, but voting with our money, certainly great. And then our astute listeners, some of whom are telepathing in, saying, So, Ron, back to you for fun. We all travel by monorail?
No.
Oh.
Well, it's a single rail in any one direction. It could be two-way or one-way. And the difference is that by going underneath the rail, we, with smaller cars, that would be for, like I said before, just the four of us going out to dinner together. When we get to our destination, we drop off the car and walk where we want to go. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to find a place to park the silly thing and spend a half an hour drive around two or three blocks looking for a slot. So it's liberating in that regard. And to pick up where Gordon left off on this thought of virtual reality, one of the things that we have in our toolkit is a company that's one of our sponsors called Incitra. And that stands for Energy, Cities, and Transportation, ENCITRA.
Okay, you're good at this.
Which develops virtual models of the built environment and shows how people can live in a space like this. In other words, it's an immersive solution, a little bit like working with Google Docs, except that you're working in three-dimensional space where simultaneously you and I can be editing or telling the designers how we want to see this look. So if I want to add more trees, we add more trees. And before you know it, we have a very lush and attractive environment. And then we can invite people, the stakeholders in the changing landscape, what they would like to see it and to then begin to understand more carefully how this all works. So thank you, Gordon, for bringing that to us, because I think that spatial understanding is very critical to getting our built environment in such a way that it works for us instead of against us.
Right. And I just want to go, you know, because that's such an important point, I just want to go back over that. Gordon, that was Ron. Here's Gordon. When you say data mining, we're going to do a Neptunian water reversal thing, turn it around so that we're mining other data, but our data is not being mined. Can you just make that, say that again, so we can all put that in our magic backpack?
Certainly. Up until now, the internet itself, which was based on the World Wide Web and HTML code, was an open platform with standards that standardized the openness of it. And it was envisioned that it would be the connecting of humanity and the opening of intellectual exchange all over the world. It didn't quite visualize, or maybe the founders might have a little bit in their greatest, most fearsome moments, that Facebook would arise, or you know, Google, or you know, all of these things. And we've worked with people that are web psychologists that have looked at all these things and said, you know, what it doesn't provide is a means by which people can organize and take action together. It kind of lacks that. And community is kind of how we do that. And a real community is one based on yourself and your interests and your people that you interact with, the places where you live, your locality. And those resources are the ones you really need to double down on, because that's where you're comporting yourself and conducting business. So in the future, rather than having a hosted, quote-unquote, free service, you'll have your own pod of information, which you can then approve for sharing and then take it back when it's no longer relevant or desired that you share, because you'll control the copyrights, you'll control the access and be under your auspices, not someone else's that you give it to.
And it could still be such an available, because, yeah, I mean, social media, it's like everything can be a prison and or a freedom according to how we are calibrated to filter and receive. I am grateful. And then there's that fabulous word chronophagic, meaning time-eating, right? There's the time-eating, distracting, going, oh my God, the clickbait, I went for it. What am I doing here? Help, I can't get out. I can't get my brainwaves out of this thing. But the connection to people, and it's like community will find a way, even through Facebook, you know, and Zoom meetings Australians.
We're sharing and caring people.
Right.
We're designed that way.
Well, and also, what do you think of, you know, it was Bruce Damer and his Kahooter, Hannah, who said, oh, that's right, it's a radio show that we're about to play someday. but they said they're very pro-human. Yay, human. So I'm like, I'm not quite so pro-human, but you guys are, which is good. And I said, well, what is the human contribution aside from our rudeness? And according to Digito, the mushroom sacrament, apparently humans are what our carbon dioxide gave rise to fragrance and flowers, maybe. Anyway, but what Bruce Damer said is we are the species that can globally cooperate best. And part of me is like, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure.
I think that is one of our hallmarks of our species.
Okay,
the sharing and caring aspect can be a cooperative exchange. And the thing of it is, up until now, we've kind of operated on a basis that you need to have these parasitic mind viruses thrust at you in order to pay for the services you use. But if you think about it, how valuable is it to mine your data trying to guess at what you're doing when you grab your car keys and head out of the house, or you grab your walking shoes and go to the pod car? When you do this, wouldn't it be better if I actually rewarded you with information based on your interest? And so if I'm willing to anonymize my intention but indicate to the mall that I'm coming to the mall actually to, not me personally, but someone's coming to the mall and would like to know a path to the cutlery shop because I'm looking for a fishing knife for my uncle. That's a far more valuable sharing than trying to guess what you were going to do at that mall and pushing movie tickets and big gulps at you.
Yeah, and scary, like, how did it know that?
That's pretty sinister, yes.
Before I did. And how does it, you know, and also what's it pushing, going, uh-oh, is that coming at me?
Yeah.
Right, your right foot might fall off. And I'm like, oh,
absolutely.
I hadn't thought about that.
Well, it goes from being a parasitic mind virus when it's desired information to actually actionable intelligence, you know, that gives you the knowledge, the information you need, when and where you need it, in the form you need it. Good magic.
So our telepathic listener says, so how might we have good boundaries, social and otherwise? It's a Saturn kind of an issue. So how do we have good social network boundaries? I know you just sort of said that, but
Well, individually, you have your own boundaries. You know what you don't want to see, what you don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. You know what you need, what you like. Why shouldn't you be in charge of that? Why give that away to someone else who may just blow down your door and show up with an armful of junk food?
Mm-hmm. Right. So outsourcing. All right, so we're insourcing. And I know, Kealoha, that you are also really interested in teasing these stories of redemptive ingenuity into, you know, available to children books, right?
Yes. I've been taken with the idea of illustrating stories around water and the creatures that live in water, and sort of our relationship to life through water.
And do you know Miyazaki's, I don't know if it's his last film, but it was when he thought he was going to retire, but then he did this film. I go to all of them. And it's clearly for children, or the child heart of all of us, all about the ocean. It might be called ocean. Do you know this one, or water?
Anyway. Ponyo?
Ponyo? Yes, that's it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Great. And I love, like yourself, I mean, he's kind of handing the baton to the likes of you, because he said he wanted to make it for children about the ocean, because that's where it's at right now. Again, that, you know, that that encouraging and to think that people, yeah, because his imagery, right, not computer generated, it's really soul feeding. You go, now that's a dragon. I've never really seen a dragon. Now that's really the ocean. I've never seen the ocean. Oh, it's really a lie. It's really entheo.
Yeah,
it's entheo magic for children who are entheo magic. Yeah.
He's a master storyteller, and he's put so many good stories out there for people of all ages, and definitely an inspiration and an elder.
Tell him about the Ocean Conference.
The Ocean Conference. Yeah.
Another ticket.
That's right. We have another ticket.
Oh, we have another. Okay. Oh, teammates, another ticket to something fun. All right, good.
This is in the middle of November.
16th?
It is one day, November 16th, Saturday.
Did you tell our grown-up, wonderful board team?
I did.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
From 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And it's around, it's the Climate Restoration Circle. And they're holding this at the Internet Archives in the city, 300 Funston Avenue. Hmm. And it's around fostering personal professional relationships between leaders in the Bay Area, climate restoration, and carbon tech fields. So kind of a business oriented. And we will also be giving away one of these lighters. And I would want to also shout out to its creator, who you met at the at Bioneers, Mark Perlin.
Yes.
Who has made a few ingenious solar devices. This one is a hands-free lighter. You can use it for incense or for...
spliffs.
Can we say that?
Yeah. So this is KPFA. You can say spliffs, giant things, giant foot
you
long.
You can burn.
Foot
yes.
long.
You can use it to light a joint.
We can light it here. It's absolutely.
Hey.
Yeah. You just need the power of the sun and this this device. So one of those with the ticket as well.
A giant spliff? A lighter
for the spliff.
Yes, provide your own spliff, okay? But you can see what kind of festive atmosphere we want to engender and encourage.
And he's also with the Climate Restoration Circle. The three of us are, and he's also made a more efficient solar capturing device that is a solar sunflower. Called Arc Soul.
And will it run my fish tank?
Yeah.
It's ideally for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I need that. Mm-hmm. I need that. Right, because my main concern about power is, first, I got the fish into this. I don't approve of aquariums necessarily, but they're 12 years old. I got to keep them going.
Right.
The beautiful fish.
Oh.
Angels, 12-year-old angels.
Oh.
And some even 16-year-old bottom feeders. Oh, there you go. Anyway, so my primary concern is, I got to keep the power on for them, right? Mm-hmm. And then heat would be nice. But that's great. Okay, so let us come back to this wonderful thing. All right, so it's a Climate Restoration Conference, mm-hmm. and the dates again are?
It's one day, the 16th of November, okay. Saturday, 9:30 a.m. to 4:30.
Internet Archives.
At the Internet Archives.
Yep.
up near the tip of the peninsula.
In the Richmond District.
Yes.
Richmond District in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's great. All right. So again, you are generously donating two tickets. Wait.
We could do two. Yeah.
Help me.
You and a friend.
Help me out here.
Yeah.
All right. So two tickets. Wait, be clearer, please.
Okay, yes. All right. Two tickets and a solar incendiary device.
A solar incendiary device. Okay, so two different people. No,
just
okay. All right, one person.
One person.
Call. All right, it's hardly worth it. Just don't. Okay,
it is worth it. Totally.
It is worth it. It is worth it. All right, one person and a friend. All right, apparently these are and anybody can go to the climate restoration thing, and they find out about that where.
They find out about that at sfbaycrc.org.
sfbaycrc.org for anybody who wants to go to that. All right, and one caller, the first caller who calls 510-848-4425 can have two tickets, one caller, two tickets to the Climate Restoration Conference, and an incendiary device lighter that will light up spliffs or, you know,
incense.
The world. or your heart, your heart. That's on the 16th of November. So there you go. Again, the number for one person who has a friend is bring a friend if you have one. 510-848-4425. Ah, yes.
It's worth mentioning that our friend Mark Perlin, who has donated generously this device and is one of the wonderful people from the
Climate Restoration Circle.
Okay, team, we're good. We're good on that one person. Thank you very much. Oh, extremely responsive.
Nice.
It's good to know you're alive out there, though. Hey there. Hello. So many anonymous people. We are so grateful to anonymous. All right, so we're good on that. All right, now back to you. Now back to you, Gordon.
So Mr. Perlin would love to use these solar incendiary devices as a means by which people who are houseless could roll up on somebody smoking a cigarette outside and say, hey, why don't you buy this solar lighter and make a little bit of money that way? So that's his brilliant vision of how to use the sun to set aside one of the single-use plastics that is so dangerous to birds and wildlife.
So it's not, the lighter is not made of plastic?
It is not. It's a good old Chinese metal reflective solar incendiary device.
Because I got sold a survival or Tesla lighter, which is pretty cool. It makes a little, you charge it and it makes a little Tesla, but it is made of plastic.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
so
yeah.
There you go. No, I'd rather have yours. There we go.
More conscious people. More
that's thank you.
Yeah.
Right, so we are getting, this is getting ready. I think that's the theme of so much of what I saw at the Bioneer is the tiny house people, the yourselves, you know, we are getting ready. Shall we try? We'll try an experiment. We'll open to a caller or two. All right. So now we're not giving away anything. Thank you very much. We're just giving away. We're welcoming your question, query, blessing.
Can I just mention one last thing? When I think of houseless people, I say this all the time.
Oh, okay.
If we just showed up naked on the shores of this new land and we're trying to figure out how we're going to take care of our people and do things, whoever was in charge of housing should be fired, don't you think? I mean, who would come up with such an absurd system of scarcity and speculation? And I'm just really not impressed that we hominid life forms haven't figured out that we need to clothe, shelter, and take care of our people. I don't understand that. Because Buckminster Fuller, who was such a great thinker, really made it clear that we can sustain many people on our world even more, but we need to do it in a way that has a zero footprint. We can actually really do that. We're brilliant people. We can do anything. That's the truth of our human species.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the old one obsolete.
Well, that's the enticing vision, you know. And again, as Alan Watts would say, no sense clinging to the rocks that are falling with you. Right, so it's like, here's what's going down into the cauldron, blah, 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 blah. You know, because it is an enormous opportunity, you know. And, you know, to everybody and everybody on this show, the Ron Swenson part of our dream team and the Kealoha Gardner part of our dream team and the Gordon part of our dream team going, all right, we're all conjuring again the desirable and as an invitation going here, over here, there we go. But when you said, you know, home, yeah, so do you think tiny homes is just a duplication of the problem or is it a lovely idea?
Well, our homes are badly designed.
Right.
They are huge energy sinks.
Yes.
They need to be demolished. And a lot of them are going to be underwater anyway. So the truth of the matter is we need to get started now. We need to safely recycle these very bad materials that are in these things. At present, there's no recycling. At present, there's no economies of scale from houses. There are people, I'm connected with people that are actually working on problems that will make housing affordable for everyone.
Right.
That if you're paying rent now, you could afford a payment that would cover your house. There's absolutely no reason why we can't have housing for everyone. It's just foolish.
Well, and all the critters as well, their homeland.
And the critters, yeah.
Right, the coyote dens under the 18-foot-tall transport, which is, Ron, and the transport that you envision and that we can see and feel, it's largely silent, right?
That's right.
Swish.
It's above. Swish. It's a swish.
Swish. Swish. That would be very beautiful.
No dead raccoons.
Dead raccoons, largely silent, and with beautiful windows, you can see everything and contemplate and gather your wits, right?
Hmm. Right. You don't have to pay attention to the asphalt in front of you. You can look all around and see the scenery and enjoy nature as we restore that nature within our realm in the urban landscape.
That's great. And also, I would like to throw our addiction to the metaphoric use of the word concrete into the cauldron. Let's make these plans concrete. I'm like, oh, no, God, no, not concrete. Let's make it a mulchy path, you know, a curvy
mulchy,
thing.
Mulchy, yes.
Mulchy. I like that.
Right, let's make this plan mulchy. Right.
Let's get some moss on
That's
it.
Cool.
And put some moss on it, exactly, and some curves, too. Oh, and Ron, can we have some curves in the design?
Well, we are going to curb your end strings to pave. That's what we're going to curb.
Right, well, curbing, but I mean curving. Could we? Because in feng shui, it says that bad spirits.
CURB. No, it's CURVE. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very much an organic appearance and terrific use of aesthetics.
Yes.
And we have real good teams working with us on those aspects.
Right.
And by the way, if
yes.
you're out there in radio land and you would like to know more, we'd really encourage you to make contact with us through the Podcar City website and or our nonprofits is INIST, International Institute of Sustainable Transportation. We have
.org.
Opportunities for people to get projects going throughout the Bay Area and would welcome anybody's a call to go forward.
It's got a nice Rasta feeling to it.
That's yeah. good, and I apologize to the eager listeners who wanted to call in. It'll just have to be telepathic, right? We're in our final 2 minutes, and we don't dare risk it. We might have you never know. Somebody says let's make our plans hempcrete. Yes,
yeah.
I prefer mulchy, but hempcrete is good. Hempcrete is a good direction.
That'll work.
And is there a website where we might see the solar sunflower?
If you visit fullervision.com,
yes, thank you.
You can see this and many other projects
and marvels.
I think today the power went down though, so the thing's not up.
the sunflower, yes, it's under construction. The sunflower website.
The sunflower is under construction. All right, that's what God said. That's really good. All right, we're in our final little bit. Ron Swenson, to thank you, and also, do you have a wish, a vision, spiraling forth in a brief way that you'd like to send out into the memosphere now?
Well, thank you, everybody who's listening, and we welcome the opportunity to have a new vision of solar-powered automated rapid transit ascended networks.
Excellent. That's really great. And again, we're on our way out almost, but a little brief word from Gordon.
Aloha kakou, everyone.
Yeah, that's
FullerVision.com.
And ke aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha will do. I'm Caroline Casey, and this is CoyoteNetworkNews.com. And thanks always again to our wonderful Lucretia Burton and Kasani, whom I get to see. Yay! We love the whole team. Thank you so much, and we will reconvene next week. Woof, 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 woof.